Yeah. Teachers are crazy life too. You were like, I think teachers is a cool job. I was like, I don't know. There are so many teachers that I know that are now sex workers. The teacher to sex worker pipeline is so real.
Wow.
Yep. All of my friends that are teachers are like taking the summer to go to the gym and then just quitting and starting an OnlyFans.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the boys club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
What's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry for the... a billionth time to the boys at home to talk about the weather again, but this is changing my life. That is nice out. It's changing my life.
Well, I just realized I don't know how to work that radiator, and it didn't seem like an issue until today when it was 60 degrees.
My understanding of the radiators, at least in my building, is they are on a system that I have no control over. So when it's hot enough, they just turn off.
Well, I have control issues. That's really upsetting. The one in my bedroom has never been on. I can turn that one off, but this one is never.
I think you can turn the knob to the right. Anyway,
the knob's broken.
Sorry. Well, okay. Then we're fucked.
Okay, do you have a boys club?
I do have a boys club for this week. Okay, wait, let me double check what I was going to say. Oh, yes, my boys club is pranksters.
Oh.
People who love pranks. I was thinking about this because we were talking the other day about high school pranks and how we always thought it was kind of lame when like the administrators would be like, what prank are you guys doing?
Well, I just
trying to get in on the senior prank.
Caroline Dunn, former guest of the pod,
shout out,
told us that her senior prank was canceled by the administrators. I was like, that is the point, that they don't
they're not supposed to know.
Yeah Gen Z got soft.
Yeah, these fucking kids
back
are
in
soft.
2000
we didn't used to ask about pranks. This is like, we never, I'm like trying to even remember, I don't even think we did a senior prank. Somebody the year after me drove, we had like the way that our buildings were set up at our high school was like a quad, so there was like four, instead of one big high school building, there was like four small ones that were like around this like central area, so it was like there was a lot of outdoor space for us to hang out.
Oh my god, that's so LA.
I mean, it's the South.
That's,
it's like very warm all the time.
So really,
yeah, we would like hang out under this massive tree.
I'm
it's
in
really
the
gorgeous.
Easy A with Emma Stone.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like small buildings like that. But also, this is dark. But once there started to kind of be like, you know, school shooters were on the rise, we were like, well,
sure.
All of the buildings are one floor and they are glass around the outside. So we're fucked.
They redesigned your school because of the shooters? No.
I think they redesigned it for a lot of reasons. They like, I haven't seen it, but they've like, my brother, when he was there, they like had like more of like one big building, like a normal high school. But anyway, sure. Somebody drove a car onto the quad as like their senior prank, which was like pretty good.
I thought you were going to say through the glass wall.
No. But there was always like the classic like.
And then what?
Four pigs, but you name them, or you like put one, two, and four on them, or three pigs, you put one, two, and four, so everybody's like, where's the third one?
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so they drove the car into the quad and then said, okay, bye.
I guess so, I don't really know.
And then just like coming and going.
Yeah, I guess it was there all day, I don't know.
I just remember that we talked about like having a senior skip day, like we're all gonna like not go to school, and it's like, and then what?
Oh my god, wait, I have something on that. So our senior skip day was always like the last, I don't know, whatever, the right before exit. Like seniors were done like a little bit before everybody else. Was it the same at your school?
Yes.
Yeah, so we were done a little bit early, and so we had senior skip day that week, and it always like soccer season was in the spring, and so we had this like senior privileges you could have. So if you had a free period, you were like allowed to not come to school, or you could go get lunch or something like that. Like you were allowed to like sign out basically. So we tried to get it so that all the teachers would give us a free period so that we could use our skip day and like participate in senior skip day, but without like having consequences for having skipped school, meaning we could still play in our soccer game that evening.
Yeah.
And the only teacher who wouldn't do it was our fucking assistant soccer coach, who was a math teacher, like wouldn't give us a free period.
I hate him.
He was like 28. I was like, you really can't be cool.
Was he hot?
No. He lives around here somewhere.
In New York?
I looked him up.
He moved to New York?
Yeah.
Oh my God, why?
I don't know.
To teach?
I guess.
You know, I think teacher's a hot job.
Well, this guy wasn't.
But not because my dad's a teacher.
Yeah,
for another
course,
unrelated
course,
reason.
Of course. Anyway, so my boys cover this week is pranksters.
It's funny that you got to like leave school. We never got to leave school, but you were allowed to leave. Well, you were allowed to leave early if you did have like a free eighth period. So this guy that I was in the play with named Jason, who did move to Bed-Stuy, reached out to me, but I didn't respond because I'm not trying to open old wounds. He was like the lead in the play, and I was, you know, like the funny character.
Totally.
And he was straight.
Character actor.
I was a character actor, of course. And he was like this straight guy who dated this oh no, that was his sister. For a second, I was like, he dated the girly, but there was like, no, the girly was his sister. Like, that is really, I'm sorry, never mind.
Hard
he dated
straight.
This other girl who's, whatever, it doesn't okay. matter. But now he's gay and he lives here and he used to drive me to Wawa. Do you know what Wawa
of
is?
Of course.
He would drive me to Wawa and he'd always get a panini and I'd always get a Tootsie Pop and then he would hotbox his car, but I would never smoke the weed. I would just sit there.
And just take it all in.
And be like, it's so cool that I have a straight friend.
For some
that
reason,
I'm in love with.
Wawa had a grip on the Northeast and then Florida. But skipped everywhere in between.
It's slowly coming in the middle. Because like now, when I would drive to North Carolina, you can stop like along the way, not in North Carolina, but like Virginia and DC.
Yeah.
And et cetera.
I mean, for those of us from the deep South, I would consider that DC is the North.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that's true. Where's the Mason? I don't know.
I don't even know. We don't but know. People in Savannah, like down the
My voice club your is voice everyone club. That's been telling me that I look tired and it used to be insulting and I've been told so many times that it feels no longer insulting. Now it just feels like a mass intervention.
I've never thought you looked tired. Well, I mean, you have looked tired, I'm sure, but like I've never really thought your vibe
a random person on the street the other day said, I love your videos online. You look tired. I swear to God.
Are you kidding me?
Not even kidding.
Wait, what did that other guy say to you just now today?
Connor Janda, I've seen everything. And I was like, have you seen all my work? Or you've seen...
I've seen everything.
I've seen everything. I've seen a 29-year-old gay guy with 5-inch shorts. And it was 42 degrees this morning. I've seen it all. Behind him, he had dozens of middle schoolers. He was leading a field trip through downtown Brooklyn. Yeah.
That is so funny. I've seen everything. That's like
I've
not...
seen everything.
People say things like that and it's like, is it a compliment? Is it
well, I'm
insult?
Always like, are my nudes going to leak? I think about that all the time. All the time. And at this point, it's just like, do it now for charity. Do it now for charity. I'm charity. But like, you won't control over that.
If you're lucky enough.
I know. Because it is kind
of
like...
I feel like that's a marker of fame for gay men.
It's a marker that someone cares.
Yeah.
But like someone cared about you enough to do this horrible thing to you.
Yeah, dark and twisted as it is.
Yeah.
Wait, oh my God, I forgot to bring this. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to bring this up till just now. I started watching a new show on Peacock called Couple to Thruple.
See, we make fun of them, but they do have a lot of shows. They have a lot of shows.
They have it on lock with the reality TV show. I mean, they all have all the Housewives stuff. And then they had Temptation Island, which I love.
Traitors.
They have Traitors, which I just finished. Also, we can talk about that later. But the... what was I going to say? Couple to Thruple. So it's like it's four couples that are interested in exploring polyamory who have done it to various degrees. And then singles who are also like poly and interested in joining, becoming a thruple. And so they're like, it's like a totally different like game show.
I hate this. It's like when you're like in middle school and everyone's paired up, but you just have to be the third to someone because you're the one that no one
well,
wanted.
Worse than that is that there's singles who don't even get chosen to thruple up. And so they're just kind of hanging out at the villa.
There's always a villa. There's always a villa.
Yeah, but it's really interesting.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Can people do a four?
That hasn't been brought up yet, but it is interesting because like some of them are like, it's so fascinating. It's like one of the most like, I don't know, it's very progressive. Like they have like a counselor on site. They have like someone who's leading them through these like exercises and trust building.
I would go just for the couples counseling.
No, it really genuinely like,
it's
like
we're going to be a double. We're going to be a couple, but we are here for counseling.
Because I feel like most people probably get into poly relationships like with, I don't know, kind of like their own independent research and like understanding of what that is and their conversations with their partner. And
I love
the way
you said independent research because in my brain it was like with their own vibes. Like they just vibe someone. Yeah. And they're like, this person, we should
yeah.
give them an offer.
But they literally have to like watch their partner like get intimate with the third. And like with the couple counselor there and the host, and then they have to like say their safe word when they're kind of like getting uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Also, there is a gay couple on it, two gay men who
and
are
one gay
unfortunately
single.
The most annoying couple on there, in my opinion.
That sometimes does happen. Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, one of them
so is our right.
has a shirt that says Detroit Millennial, and I was like, bro.
Oh, what does
bro.
That even mean?
I don't know.
I just remember that I had a threesome one time on Fire Island, and I'm sober, and this guy that I was seeing, he was really drunk, said, I want to have a threesome, even though he was really drunk, and I was sober, and we were at the Sip and Twirl, and Mariah Oxley was there outside, and then, so we bring this, like, third guy in who's so random, and, like, is in real estate, I think, and then he comes back, and I'm in such a bad mood, and I'm dead sober, sober, like, I'm as sober as I am right now.
Yeah.
And this man's plastered, and then I just, like, I'm like, if this is what you want, if you want to have a threesome, I'll show you a threesome. I'll show you how into this I am.
Wow.
And I don't think that guy looked one time at the guy that I was dating. I was like, yeah, now I have to throw my, which is actually horrible in retrospect, totally crazy. But I was like, I will show you how much I'm into this. And then I feel like he kind of got like left out and said he felt left out later. And it's like, oh Well, that's why want this.
That's why it's good that they have this counselor who like walks them through all these exercises.
So you can't do what I did, which was emotionally manipulated. Okay.
Which is yes, and but it's really interesting. Anyway, it's like one of the most progressive. It's like perfect because it's like it doesn't feel like as fucked up as they can feel sometimes, okay. Where like people are being dragged through the emotional mud with like no help and like no therapy on site, as it seems. Whereas, but it like doesn't lose its like
queer ultimatum.
Yeah, but it's like still really interesting. It's yeah. like still like I don't know. So anyway, boys, check it out.
Well, I'll check it out. Is it? And one more question: is it just? It's not just sex. They're like, we're gonna go to the bodega together and brunch together. And
yeah, I think that's part of it too. Is them like figuring out where on that kind of spectrum they land? Of like, do they want like an actual third partner? Do they just want somebody to like be there like for the sexual parts of it? And like, what does that person want, etc.?
Maybe so. I would love a throuple in that I just like kind of am such a loner, and it might be. Well, I don't think that's what how it happened in throuple, but I think that like if there's three, it's maybe like less intense on you because it's just like, let me take more PTO.
You. Then somebody else could hang out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear that. Well, maybe you can go on. All right, should we bring our guest in?
Yes.
Boys, our guest this week is an amazing stand-up comedian. He's a producer. He's an actor. He's a friend of the pod. We're so happy he's here. Boys, please welcome Dave Mazzoni.
Hi. Wow.
Welcome.
You guys, that intro conversation, there's so many talking points. That was so much for me.
Have you seen Couple to Thruple?
I haven't. It sounds like a huge trigger for me. I've been involved. It sounds like torture.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty intense. It's like I said, it's good that they have a counselor there because I think otherwise it would just be
yeah.
a hot mess.
I mean, are the couples ultimately realizing that they're there because they don't like each other and that this their third person is them trying to figure out some type of a band-aid sort of save me life raft for their relationship?
Yeah, like kind of a little bit. Like the gay couple, they were the first to be like the like when they did the exercise where one of them is like laying on a chaise lounge and like the third is there like it starts with like he's just talking to him and so he's like doing sexy talk in front of him and then he's like kissing him and then he's touching him and then like the other guy who's sitting there is just like he just goes like stone and then the one that's like in the lounge is like are you not into this anymore and he's like well I don't know and like so like off the bat it like blows up so I think kind of
well a question I do now have about this is to your point, are these people who are like, I've always wanted to be in a throuple, I think that I'm made for a throuple, this relationship is one that should be of a throuple, or is it like we instead of having a baby, we're gonna have a throuple?
I just think like if you've been with somebody for 5 years, your relationship is amazing, fantastic, you're so in love. Like I just don't know a world where you're like, you know what we need to do? Add another human being.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't... I mean, also, like, this whole throuple trend, I think it's being thrust upon us. Like, do you know successful throuples?
I haven't met one.
Well into their... You know, oh, we've been together for 20 years. Like, how many... Can you name one?
Who is it?
I'm just saying, can you name one successful
I thought you said
thruple?
You could only name one.
No.
Like,
I'm saying, can you?
You're like, David, Mark, and Joe.
Like, I'm asking the question. Like, I mean, there's two people. Monogamous relationships hardly work.
Yeah, we're at a 50% at that.
Exactly. Like, so on what planet do we think adding a third energy? Like, I just, like, as somebody who did it, I think COVID had a large part to do with this, but an ex of mine were at the end of a very long relationship, and I genuinely think that we believed collectively that adding another person would like bring out other parts of us that we didn't already know, but really it was just a mutual excitement about fucking and meeting somebody new and feeling wanted and desired by somebody new. It was sort of this audition of like, I do like meeting other people.
You were in a
yeah.
throuple. I was in sort of like it was two couples. That sort of like, so I was like couple to quad.
Yeah.
Was the show I was on. And I wouldn't recommend that either. Two wheels. It's a bicycle.
Yeah.
Relationships are a bicycle. I firmly believe this.
Yeah. I mean,
I can't ride a bicycle.
Oh,
maybe we get you a third wheel to balance it out.
Training
but,
wheels.
But the, it is interesting. Like, so one of the couples, the gay couple, they're kind of like, I think just like interested in exploring if they want that. There's like a straight couple that's like, has been doing poly sort of for a while. They've been married for like 9 years. They're the most like, the guy is like a straight guy with his nails painted and he's like, they're both like CrossFitters. Like that's kind of their vibe. And then there's one where it feels very clear to me that like the guy's really interested in it and the girl's like, okay. And then there's one, the only couple that actually
seems, that never goes well.
No, you can see from a mile apart.
How do they choose the gender of the third person, the set, whatever, of the third person?
So that's like an interesting, like, well, that's like one of parts of the conversation is they like talk about like, you know, like who are we interested in and like that. And so it's like kind of progressive in that way.
It's
the gay guys were like, kind of like, I guess we'll see. And I was like, Really? You two are going to bring back a woman. I will.
Gay men in New York are trying to be like, I'm actually bi-curious. I'm circling back. I'm bi-curious again. Was gay. Now I'm bi-curious only in New York, I think, means it's, like, you actually might be straight. Like, you're like, now you're back into women. I feel like with it sounded, when you said like the gay thing, it was like, of course a throuple. But like, when a throuple with a straight couple just feels culty.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a problem.
Well, so then the only one that felt like it was like kind of maybe going to, we'll see how it goes. Maddie and I are only two episodes in, but there was a straight couple who the woman is like bi curious and is like, and the guy is kind of like, I think she wants to explore that side of herself. And I'd love to see what that looks like with all three of us.
As I sit in a chair.
But he's not gay. It has to be a woman.
Yeah. And
but she's bi curious. So okay. She's into another guy.
Yeah.
She's into Brian. Like
I'm interested to see if that's when it breaks down.
Right. Like the straight element for me is like, everyone has to be on an even sort of tier of bisexuality.
Agree.
For this to be like fair.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, I feel that too.
That's why I think with the gay community, it's messy because like everyone's sort of like is men and everyone is, could possibly be in any combination.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the emotional wires get crossed really fast. And also, like, I don't know, I believe in bisexuality. I certainly do. And I like to see it in straight men, but I'm like, also the element of them all being on television too. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, is he open to this? It's like, well, is he open to this on television?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I've met a lot of guys who I didn't think were bi, and then suddenly when you're all alone with them, they're bi or they're trying it. But on national, on Peacocks,
I've never met a man like that.
Thruple.
Am I not putting out vibes, straight men?
What about when you were in North Carolina?
You don't want it. I trust me. You don't want it.
I want to be someone's secret. And then I'll say,
do you?
I kept you like a secret and you kept me like, no, you kept me like a secret. I kept you like an oath. I'm a Swiftie.
Speaking from experience, it's not a dynamic you want to be in.
No.
You don't want to be anybody's secret. That
our romantic lives in college were so opposite. Like I was hooking up like sort of closeted, sort of not, with this like old guy that owned a coffee shop, and you were like actually like
I could see this
wreaking havoc on your campus, like extremely opposite
situations. That is not true.
This guy that would pick me up in a Jeep Wrangler to take me to the house that he owned and then drop me off because like I have to work on my senior
good sim, for you have to work on your senior
which
sim.
I thought was so hot for myself.
That's hilarious.
Did you watch Endurance?
Wranglers are hot. What?
They are hot. There's something hot about knowing it could flip over at any time.
Mm-hmm.
My parents really told me that a lot. I know. You just go. Did you watch Endurance on Discovery Kids?
No.
Okay. What Endurance was this show, and it was like literally like teenagers were on it, and it was like Survivor, but you were in pairs, and there was this thing where you could like, there was like a big twist where one season you could like have it, there was a challenge, and you could switch the pair if you won the challenge, and that's what I worry would happen on this show.
That
you'd go
you
as a couple, you'd leave as a one.
Well, you the part
let
of
me
it.
Tell you that's exactly how the story goes, Diva. And then when it happens, you're like, oh my god, how could this happen? And then you just think for 1 second about what you did, and the roll of the dice that you took, and also just like the concept that our generations are banking on, which is seeing all of these monogamous relationships not work and thinking, oh, what will fix that is more people, is more options, is more, is less responsibility. Oh. You were saying like there'll be other people to blame, like more PTO. That's a hilarious way to look at it, because I think it really is that, like, it's tricky. The whole thing is tricky. I wouldn't advise it.
I wonder with queerness. Okay, so like straight people have such a roadmap for what their lives are going to look like, and that does feel limiting. But then with queerness, it's almost like it is so opened up that it's like, but you got to make a choice at some time. You just
I kind of want
something.
Some wall, like built, like barricade me in a little bit. I can't just be like anybody, like it's just not real. Like, let's be realistic. Like, that was another thing. My gut, suppressing your gut instincts on things. Like, if you think that this is not for you, it's probably not. You know, if like there's any gut part of you that's like, I really want to experience somebody else. Maybe that's something you isolate and try first. Sometimes people are avoiding a tricky conversation with their partner, or like avoiding communicating, and just instead of that, doing that, being like, let's just add on. Can you tell I have trauma?
But I feel like people also like that, like open relationships are super big, and like the jump from open relationship to throuple feels massive. And I feel like people are conflating those as like similar experiences, where I think that's like, those are totally separate things.
Agree. Like if you're both electively deciding like for one person, to bring one person into the fold, versus like, don't ask, don't tell. Like, let's just like, I mean, everyone's contract is different. Just get a lawyer, I guess is what I'm saying. read your emotional contract, all the fine print, all the way down to the very end.
Yeah.
Three is a bad number. I remember in college someone saying,
three's a crowd.
Three's a crowd. And they were also like, a triple is bad because there's always one person left out. It's always two in one.
Like a triple room, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can say from a sex perspective that going from two to four was great. And I think that was part of the reason why it lasted for so long, was that four really worked. Four gay men. It was like, yeah.
Even
that,
numbers.
Yeah. I think I was like blinded by that for a long time. But regardless, I'm going to watch this show.
You definitely should. One of the funniest parts of it is the straight couple with the bi-curious girl. The guy was like, the only thing I'm hung up on is like, I just don't know how the sex is going to work. He like, I'm like, dude, don't admit on national television that you don't know how a threesome works. Like, figure it out.
That is crazy.
Apparently, like on a couple episodes, and they bring in a non-binary poly couple as like an additional couple. So there's going to be some new
That's energy. A really, wow, the producers are crazy.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
Like, you know what we should do halfway through? Bring in non-binary.
That straight man is going to be so confused when they roll up to the villa.
Whatever.
If he didn't know what a threesome was.
The Peacock audience is wide. Hopefully my parents accidentally put it on one day and maybe like learn something.
It sounds like Peacock, they might control the election. Like everyone is watching
Peacock.
They're
all broke. They all have no money. They're grasping at straws. They're making things that they're all the streamers are going to become one giant thing again.
They have
called,
to.
Called like Flubel. I'll just pay for it. It'll all be the same again.
Yeah, I don't know how they could sustain any longer because it's crazy.
Do you think Housewives makes money? Because it's cheap to produce?
I think that there's about to be enough lawsuits to end the franchise overall. They have like 10 lawsuits that they're dealing with actively from these women. And I think the juice is not going to be worth the squeeze soon.
Meredith.
Dang.
I think what they're going to do is give spinoffs. I think we're going to get like Erica Jane's World. Like it's just going to be like Crappy
Solo.
Lake and all these things that just they're just going to start taking from the pantheon of 150 celebrities that they've cultivated over the last 15 plus years.
Yeah.
The ones that are still usable. Maybe they'll give Teresa Giudice a show with her and her girls, the Giudice girls, whatever the hell. If I was Andy, that's what I would do. I'd be like, I'm done auditioning all these girls. I'm done doing all this. Let's just start giving the ones that can play the game and that know what they signed up for the reins. And like, I don't know. They might also start focusing on, I hope, as somebody who works a lot in non-scripted and loves stupid, silly stuff, more stuff like Traitors.
Yeah.
Let's just have fun. Let's just play games. Yeah. Like,
I love Traitors. So,
like, I like it. I have a couple of issues with it. I think that the challenges are, like, not super essential.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird, like element to it where because it's like, did you see The Mole?
Yes. No, but I've been told to watch this as like
it's similar. Yes. Yeah, it's good. And the thing that's nice about The Mole is that The Mole, whoever is like the kind of like secret, it's like the same thing. It's like the traitor, the person who's like trying to sabotage. But like during the missions, they can like sabotage the money. So they can like be fucking with the pot versus like in this, they're kind of all incentivized to make the money.
And also like, do they all need this money? Like does Phaedra Parks really need like what, like 80 grand?
No, and then Parvati's like, I want to buy a house for my child. And it's like, that feels off.
I know. That's not how that works.
I know.
That's kind of how I feel about it. But like the things of like, someone has to drink this cup.
Yeah.
Like the house nonsense and like the clue element and like also Alan Cumming totally giving it. Love Alan. So
his fits.
Yeah, like I'm just like, yay, this is so stupid. I love it.
The
like,
literal game though, here's my issue. The literal game doesn't make any sense. The game does not make sense. Do you want to find a traitor? Do you not want to find a traitor? People are going to be traitors either way. They're just going
to
add more.
I think the adding of more traitors was an interesting way to stretch it. Like, If the faithfuls are winning, if by like episode four they eliminate all the traitors, like, I mean, if I was just playing, I just think about camp. If I was playing this at camp, I'd be like, you guys are stacking the deck. But that's production.
Do you watch Survivor?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I like current Survivor. I love old Survivor. And with old Survivor, you're always incentivized. If you're on the bottom, someone's always on the bottom of an alliance. Mm. So you are never out of it. You're always incentivized to like leave your alliance if you don't think you're going to like at the top.
Right.
So there's always shifts. Mm. Like, and on traitors, it's just like, well, once someone knows you're a traitor, like with Parvati, it's like, well, babe, you're done. Because like they know you're a traitor. It's kind of over.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of shifting of power.
Exactly. Like it kind of felt like they were sitting ducks for a little while. Yeah. And also the episode, they just dragged on a little bit. Like, seeing Phaedra like try to set up that catapult or whatever, I was like, I know, just from a production standpoint, these women are on set looking at the production people like, I'm not running up this hill. I'm
when
tired.
They were getting attacked by the bugs. I was dead. Like, all the housewives just being like, we're not doing this.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. If I was in that room, I would have been like, there is absolutely no chance. Who do we have? Peppermint?
Like, the way Alan said it, he was like, so three women left?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's fun, but like, I want more clue elements and I would like more shifting of power.
Yeah.
And the whole back half of the season was CT just being like, these girls are not helping me out.
Yeah, there was like that one challenge where CT just did the whole thing. It was like the one that had to jump from like raft to raft or whatever. It was like CT was like, I'll just do it.
Yeah. And there was no way the timer on the last episode was correct because they had 7 minutes to get out to that boat. I was like, they initially probably were trying to paddle and they're like, okay, can we get them a speed boat?
Every get out single there. Timer on any show ever is completely fake. Yeah. There's just no yeah. way. In fact, that is something that I always love to watch is like you look at the clock in the bottom, it's like 3:59, and then you like look up for a second, you look down, it's like 16 seconds. And you're like, they're just constantly changing those numbers.
What I liked about it was it felt like, okay, here's every single type of reality persona put in one place, and they all are clearly coming from extremely different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Real Housewives are always incentivized to cause drama. And then people like your Big Brother, your Survivor people in general, like those people were like, no, like we play social games. Like that's what we're used to doing. Like when Larsa Pippen was like, I think Parvati's a traitor. The moment they were picked, like they were sitting at the table, and then Parvati's like, what? And it's like, no, but Larsa Pippen, she's like, you, like that's her whole thing. It's like they cause problems, they cause drama.
It was crazy to me too that like, did you know this that so Larsa Pippen is married to Michael Scotty. Jordan's son?
Or engaged,
that's who was there with.
It's kind of tumultuous. Yeah, they were together.
Yeah.
Yes.
And which is crazy because Scottie Pippen is like a long time, like played second fiddle to Michael Jordan. And then his ex-wife is now dating Michael Jordan's son.
Baby, Larsa's got that grip.
I can't even wrap my mind around that. I actually need to like look at a chart.
Larsa does something in the bedroom that we don't know about.
Yeah.
There's something we don't know.
What franchise is she from?
Miami.
Which
if you don't watch, it has become canon. The girls are wild. Alexia, it's a good franchise. I would watch it if you have the time.
I just feel like Salt Lake City kind of uprooted my whole life for a couple months. Like I literally would like couldn't go to bed. I was up until 3 a.m. I just like couldn't get my
Salt Lake is definitely a soap opera. They got what they needed to out of that season, which was actual human drama.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't have like a grounding element and it's just all these girls kind of like fighting over what time they were supposed to meet for lunch, the franchise just doesn't work. You and need like actual yes. scandal. And Jen Shaw was a gift.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. She is a horrible person, but it was a gift for the franchise. And then this most recent season, oh God, all of them on the beach like that. Wait, there's a comedian who made a watercolor of it. I think his name is Victor. He painted this beautiful watercolor of them, and I was like,
that
wow,
is so funny.
What a moment.
It's nice to see them all on the same page. I don't like it when they fight. Like I want to watch them be happy, and like I think it's fun to watch Meredith Marks gonna like live her life happy.
Yeah.
And it's hard when they're at war. So when they were all at war against one thing, it was like, okay, well I can support that.
Yeah. Wait, what was I gonna say about the the fact that I didn't realize all these lawsuits, but what I thought was crazy was I'm sure you guys saw this too, like recently somebody like there was like a tweet that was like Andy Cohen like is like doing coke and like partying with the housewives, and it's like, what do you think his job is? Like, no shit. Why are we coming for him for doing his job?
Andy runs a circus, man. I don't know how that man stays alive. I mean, you watch what happens live. He do be sounding like he's at the bitter end of a very long, long stint as mayor of Crazy Town.
Yeah. I thought it was wild that they brought him in for the reunion over, I don't know why they, if that's just because that's for Traitors.
Peacock is an empire. It's an empire.
Yeah.
Now. I know that was weird that it was not Alan Cumming, who we were used to seeing.
I know.
I haven't watched the finale yet.
So the finale is good, but I thought the recap or the talkback, what is it called afterwards?
Not needed.
Reunion.
Yeah. Reunion was kind of left some to be desired.
Understand.
It was more like Andy asking questions that are like, so you guys are dating now and or something like that.
Was Parvati good?
Yeah, she was good.
In college, I tried to use $6,000 of student funds to bring her to campus to give a TED Talk.
That is...
She was like one of those people that you could hire. Kind of on that thing that you're on. Like one of those people you could hire.
I think she's still one of those people you can hire.
I bet her fee is way over $6,000 now, though.
$6,000.
Yeah.
Crowdsource.
Yeah.
Also, you reminded me of when you were talking earlier about senior pranks, and I had a good one. I was actually the organizer of my senior prank. We got the Shrek on top of the Burger King down the street, the giant inflatable Shrek that was sitting on top of the Burger King.
That's great.
We picked it up, we strapped it to my friend's car, and we brought it and we put it on the gym.
That's great. That's
it was
great.
Pretty good. And I orchestrated the whole thing, and it was like, and even then, because like I like to break the rules, but I like to break the rules in like a cute way, even then I was like, that's not that bad. I can get out of that.
No, that's like a perfect. That's like a perfect prank because it is like, it's fun, but it's like, yeah. What are they gonna say?
But what are they gonna say? Like, we asked the Burger King. We had four people that worked at that Burger King.
Yeah,
you're from New York.
I'm from Rhode Island.
No way. What part?
Cranston, it's called.
Like, I think that's such a charming state.
It is. It's kind of like Boston, New Jersey's sort of like love child.
I like love New England.
Yeah. It's a nice place. I like, when I was growing up, I was like, ugh, it's so tiny. It's so like here. But like, actually, in retrospect, it's a beautiful place to grow up. Amazing beaches. Rhode Island's kind of like if Boston and New Jersey had like an artsy son.
Yeah.
That was like, no, I want to be a chef.
Yeah, they have a great food scene.
Yeah, they have a great food scene. Like, Brown is there. RISD's there. There's a lot of design schools. Johnson & Wales is a huge culinary school that's there.
I did a show there. I was like, I did a college show at Johnson & Wales. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are you guys all chefs? And they were like, no. And I was like, what? Isn't that the whole vibe here? You guys study, why are you at this school? Like,
there are many, many different schools in that area. Johnson & Wales does have it's a huge culinary school.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't like comedy. Maybe
it's too busy chefing, I guess.
Yeah. Chef is a crazy life. Yeah. Teachers are a crazy life, too. You were like, I think teachers are a cool job. I was like, I don't know. There are so many teachers that I know that are now sex workers. The teacher to sex worker pipeline is so real.
Wow.
Yep. All of my friends that are teachers are like taking the summer to go to the gym and then just quitting and starting an OnlyFans.
Good for them.
They make 10 times the money.
Yeah.
And they don't
have to deal with kids.
I think I taught for 1 year. I'm sorry to everyone at home who's mad about that. I agree with you. And I was extremely bad at it and I worked all the time and I was very unhappy and I needed beta blockers. I didn't even know what they were though. It's very bad.
It's hard. Working with kids is hard. I mean, like, I've said this before on the pod, but, like, I coach soccer, so I'm with them, like, 2 hours a day, and that is more
Nico,
than
you
enough.
Coach soccer? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's my, that's my day
so
job.
That's so cute.
I coach kids soccer. Yeah, it's fun. It's, like, the as like, comedy, like, day jobs go, is it's, like, the best thing because it's, like, very limited hours, and it's, like,
absolutely,
you know, after school hours, so it's, like, not in the way of shows and stuff.
And you really shaped them because I had two soccer coaches in middle school, Harry Joe and Clean Shaven Joe. And you remember Harry Joe, someone said, Connor, you're a drama king. And he said, more like drama queen. And it's like, yes. And it really,
no,
it ruined my life.
Yeah. Fuck you, Harry Joe.
For Harry Joe, I hate you.
Yeah.
Wow, he set you up for a lot.
I know.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked.
That's pretty fucked.
More like drama queen.
He called you faggot.
Yeah. I can't imagine making fun of a child like that. Like, that's wild.
I know. It's like really crazy.
I do think kids need bullying, though. I say it all the time.
Yeah, they need to, they just need like more, it just needs to be like, they have no, like, because I coach a lot of rich kids, and they just don't seem to have, like, they clearly are not told no. And even, like, when, and, like, there are some, like, whatever, gentle parenting things that I think probably maybe are a little bit better than some of the things that we were probably raised with, but, like, there needs to be a balance. We're going way too far in one direction.
I mean, I just, artistry comes from torment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, how are you going to know you're gay until you hate yourself for it? I don't even know.
Like, I know.
Like, it gives you, like, this huge thing to overcome, and then you overcome it, and then, like, I think it's what galvanizes young gay people. I mean, it's literally also what kills people, so at the same, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, where I'm like, I just think there are certain times where, like, I see, like a young six-year-old being like, do you like my outfit? Like, confident out, being supported, and I'm like, no. No, the pants don't go with the top, Brayden. I think you should go fix it. You look like shit.
And Brayden, in comedy, if I feel like bullying makes you like the underdog in this way, that's like, okay, now we can be like a little self-deprecating, we kind of like punch up and etc. And it's like, if we were never bullied, then we never would have had that.
I mean, all the greatest music, like, come on, like, is every album that comes out now is going to be like some young gay being like, work, snap, bitch, let's go. I'm the queen, suck some cock.
Do you remember Taylor Swift's Grammy award-winning speech when she was, or whatever it's called, when she won for Mean, and she's like, it's really cool to write a song about a girl who was mean to you and then to win a Grammy for it. And that was the whole speech.
Wow.
And then everyone clapped. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Well done, Taylor.
All I'm saying is that it's human, as much as being celebrated and feeling excited about your identity and who you are as a part of the human experience, I also think like having to uphold that against people who don't agree with you, don't believe in you, don't, you know, whatever, it's like it's part of the character building.
Totally.
Now I sound like a boomer.
No, but it is true. Like, I feel like I had this experience in college where I had to we were trying to organize like a pride game for the women's soccer team, which full of lesbians, built on the backs of lesbians, women's soccer in this country.
Absolutely.
And so we wanted to have a pride game, and the administration said no. Like, our athletic director said, we're not doing a political statement for a game, which was like so fucked up. And so I had to like meet with him and his like second in command to like convince them, and had to have this like horrible meeting where I was like basically pleading my identity and case to these like bigots who ended up getting like fired after this year for I'm sure a lot of reasons, but
including this one.
Mm-hmm. And but it does feel like one of the most like character building moments of my early like queer life, of like having to stick up for myself in that way. And it's like, obviously that sucked and it was like it shouldn't have been that way, but at the same time it's like I wouldn't necessarily take that back because I feel so much more empowered to like stand in my self
exactly.
than I would.
It galvanizes you a little bit, yeah. you know? Like, and also they say like your biggest bullies are also gay, you know? And it's like, well, that is a lot of times the case. And it's like actually like sniffing that out, realizing you have similarities with people mm-hmm. who are maybe have problems with you is like another life lesson. It's like people are insecure. Everyone has their own thing. And like the more you can, this is the boys club I want to see in the world, is people who smile. People who like yeah. who are just like, yeah, we like, hi, hello, how are you? Like, what? I feel like people don't do that anymore. I feel like, especially in the gay community, it's like everyone is trying to pretend to be cool too much.
Yeah.
It's like where is the moment where we all finally drop in and are like, we all have insecurities, we're all in progress, and like let's meet over that, like,
yeah,
right now. Like, yeah, I'm tired of it.
It's too much optics.
I was in LA just now. It was like,
do you think the gay men there are, compare the gay men, and I know this is different because it's not like New York versus LA, it's like gay men in New York versus gay men in LA, so it's kind of, it's not hack, it's new. What are the gay men? Because last episode, I said that my impression of the gay men in LA is that they are more cerebral.
And I said that cannot be true.
But I think because they all wrote a pilot, it makes them a little more cerebral.
I think there's more pressure on social scenarios in LA because no one ever really sees each other. Like, so like when people see each other, it's like always a big catch up. What do you have going on? I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks. Like, what's been going on? What have you been doing? And it's like, and also I do feel, in LA, well, I went to an Oscar party while I was there, and that's like what I'm mainly, it was so funny to walk around and just see everyone like waiting in line for the different booths and things, like getting ready to perform themselves.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that like it's a part of the game. Your agents are probably making you do it. It's it like I'll do it when the time comes, but it's interesting to see in those environments that like everyone is there just to be it's just a peacock fest a little bit.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Don Julio.
We do see each other all the time. A few months ago, I was in Whole Foods and I was not having it. And I ran into a comedian and they were annoying me. And I'm sorry, I was wrong and I was rude and I shouldn't have been. But we see each other so much that I was like, I have nothing to give you from my cup right now. And then I walked away. They were like, ask me annoying questions. And I was just like, I need you to stop. Whereas yeah. like we see each other all the time. We are never alone in this city.
I think my go-to questions are always like, what did you eat today? <That's> like nice. Low stakes, like
yeah. it'd be like a Cliff Bar and a Tootsie Pop, and you'd be like, do you have a doctor?
Exactly. I can pivot anywhere from there, but like, what are you working on is the question everywhere, like that everyone's asking in LA, or like, oh, like what brings you to Los Angeles, are you working, like da, da, da.
You know what I'm gonna say this, and it's about our close friend. Oh god, we're not cutting it, we're not editing this unless you want to. We will edit it.
I love if you talk yourself into circles. It's cute.
If I say, how are you? I don't need to know what you're working on. And I don't yeah. need to know what meetings you have. If I say, how are you? I'm not asking about work. And if
I like your Beyonce cuff. Is that a Beyonce cuff?
Wait, is that this one?
Yes.
Wait. Thank you for telling me
sorry,
that.
Sorry, this is a podcast. And then I'm looking at a beautiful bracelet.
Wait,
beautiful
I need
bracelet.
To tell you this. So I got this for $106. And I got it when I was in Fire Island Pines for the first time. Oh, I'm going to cry. When I was in Fire Island Pines for the first time. And I got this little charm. And it said fire FIP, and I lost the charm, but I felt like a symbol that like that's not, I don't need the charm. But I was like, if I figure out what company this is, then I would get a different charm of like an elephant, not Republic of a don, whatever, of a heart.
Meansai, I'll send you the link.
MEY, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
yeah.
MIANSAI, I believe it is.
I bought it in a little store for $106, and
it's expensive. There, yeah, it's solid brass cuffs,
but it has really love. Stayed with me. Mm. And then beautiful. This is from Madewell. It's bad. It's dirty. It's gross. I should get rid of it. When I went through a breakup, my whole thing was that I was going to wear jewelry. That was like who I became.
I remember that.
I like
because you showed up to my house with like three different new bracelets, and you were like, "I'm a jewelry guy now."
Did you like bullet journal at the same time? Were you like looking out the window and like writing?
It like yeah, I was like doing morning pages, but it was just like me talking myself in circles, but on the page about like why I am who I am, and I don't need anything. But it. Okay, so this guy that I was dating, we broke up, and then he like painted his nails for the first time, and I was like, did I keep you back from that? Was I the problem? And then like, so I feel like I went through all of these like little self like things that I could try of like trying to figure out like who I was.
Yeah.
As yeah.
Yeah, that I did that with ear piercings. I was like, yeah. I think I want an ear piercing. And I did my left. And then I was like, okay, I like it. I was like, I think I'm someone with piercings. I think I want my other one. And then I got my right. And then I was like, I miss it being like uneven. So then I got another one on my right so that it was like heavier on one side. And like
stud or
studs. But I put hoops in and stuff. But like there, I put my diamonds in. My parents
got me. I love that.
My mom and dad were like, we want to give you your first pair of diamonds.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah.
My mom has 3 diamonds, 2 earrings, 1 ring. And she says that when she's going to give all of my brothers like 1 diamond, but I get the ring and my brothers get the earrings because they didn't know to ask.
Yeah. You have to line those
you
things up.
You have to get
advance.
Out ahead of that.
How many
yeah.
siblings do you have?
I have 2 brothers. They're both gay.
Three mm-hmm. gay sons?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my God. This pilot is annoying, honestly.
Wait, it's actually too much. Like if I ever were to write something based on my family, it would be my dad would be like a stay-at-home dad and the mom would be a high-powered attorney, but it couldn't be 3 gay kids because no one wants to watch that.
Wait, I know this about you. You have a joke about this. Now it's somewhere in your stand-up set that you do a joke about this.
Yeah, 3 is a lot.
3 is a lot.
It is such a, and his parents are 2 of the straightest people you'd ever lay your eyes on. I don't know where it comes
Could
from.
Could you imagine pitching a show at 3? They're like, I don't know if it's Coastal. I don't know what age this is for. They're like, it's
they
something.
Definitely would call it Coastal.
It's
no
something's
doubt.
Wrong with
I
it.
I love the word coastal just being too gay.
Yeah.
That's really gay.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's coastal.
It's giving you're near a port. Okay. Yeah. Near the
They're
ocean.
Shipping you in from somewhere.
Exactly. Easy out.
Yeah, you guys got a flag because you're from somewhere else, okay?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Should we get into some boys' clubs?
What's a boys' club? You can do any order, but what's one that you're not a part of?
Okay, when you first asked me this morning, when I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, the first like boys club I can remember not being a part of was in Rhode Island. I used to go to this beach club. It was a private beach club called Bonnet Shores.
In Narragansett.
In Narragansett, yeah. Do you know Bonnet Shores?
Shut up. Wait, in Narragansett. Is it on a private beach?
Yeah, there are hundreds of beach clubs. But yes, this was on a private beach. It's called Bonnet Shores. It is a beautiful
Did you go?
I've been there.
Little, I mean, it's very possible.
Can
it's,
I Google it?
Yeah, please do. It's a cute place. I used to go there every single summer with my parents and we would like, there was like a all kit. It was like all the parents got cabanas and little beach, like huts by the beach. And there was like adult areas and bars and stuff. And all of the children of all of the parents would just be like, well, I guess this is our squad for the whole summer.
Wow.
And I was always gay. So I was always, but I wasn't out. So I would get conflicted about like who I hung out with. Most of my older cousins and like family member that were there were girls.
I really think I dated someone that lived on that beach.
It's very, very possible. Lived on the beach?
Like had a house next to that beach club. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's all homes along there. Wow, why did you guys
break up? Was there
up?
One
that
Bonnet
sucked.
Shores?
What?
Is that because I wasn't enough? Is there... is there
no.
One? I'm just kidding.
Not so. There... True. His loss. We
no,
know
no, no,
that.
No, 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 no. Is there one Bonnet... Wait, sometimes when I get... weird groceries someone will, the person this is not right but someone will be like oh my god you're getting that many of that and I'll be like I have an eating disorder it's like the buddy where you go from there
right
wait
right, right.
But I it's the most beautiful place in the world
it's really nice but like as a kid it was stressful for me because I was like who am I hanging out with
yeah.
All of the boys used to play this game called Rundown where you would there was like 2 bases set very far apart on the sand and 2 guys would be like the ball throwers and then all of the guys would have to have 1 foot tagged on 1 base and the goal was to run from you had to swap sides and if you got pegged in the head or body with a tennis ball you were out.
Oh god. Wait, and you can really rip a tennis ball pretty fast.
Yep. Tennis balls are hard
and you can throw those real fast
and always the person who was going to be the pitcher or who's going to be like throwing the ball was always the person who was the oldest and the best at throwing the ball.
of course So when the 14 year old boy is like pelting 7-year-olds
massive like the one kid with armpit hair is the one who is the one who's throwing the ball and
that's
all
so
everyone else
is a kid whatever anyway
you know what I'm talking about like the
at
all
the time
boys were like always throwing the ball and yeah. I was always like this sort of soft like angel who just wanted to pick up crabs and put them in buckets and like
yes.
build small communities for crabs.
Yes,
like,
that's what I always did.
Oh, I was obsessed with flipping rocks and finding the living things and then then taking those living things and playing with them all day and ultimately killing them.
We probably had what I would probably was probably inhumane of like hundreds of crabs in this like pit that we put them through. And then if they were good, we would put them in the castle and we would like test them out. And yep. Which of them was not going to run away.
Exactly. Like, or like find two different species and like put them in like a little chamber that you make together and see how they interact.
Yeah.
Or, like, I would just be like, let's build a hole. Let's dig a hole and make a hot tub.
Yeah,
Do they make you fill it in at the end of the day?
What?
My parents were faggots. They'd always be like, you have to fill this hole in or someone's going to die. And it's like, it's not that deep.
My parents were doing that too. Yeah. It's like, we didn't really dig that far.
We were both raised in houses. This is where our Venn diagram, where it's like, you have to fill in your holes and we can't have guns in the house. Like, we're not even fake ones. There are no fake guns.
Yeah. Oh, that is stressful though.
It was just a boys club I never wanted to be a part of, but they were like, my mom would always be like, go play Run Town with the boys. Like, come on, go. My mom is like a TJ Maxx with bangs. She's like a very, very simple $12.99 lady.
I love that.
She's wonderful. Today's her birthday, actually.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Pisces.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it, so I shouldn't engage in a conversation.
A lot of my friends are Pisces. Matt's a Pisces. My friend Sophie's a Pisces.
I'm a Pisces moon. So I think that means
that's
my,
your
like,
love
deep
link, your love type.
I think something like that. It's like my deep inside. It's very emotional.
Extremely emotional, narcissistic tendencies, but they always come from a good place. They usually come from talent.
mm-hmm. Well,
not calling you a narcissist. Well, I'm calling you talented.
Thank you. I mean, all of my stand-up is autobiographical because I like talking about myself. So
when you're queer,
you're
to
fantastic,
be a narcissist,
Nico. You know I love you.
I feel like it's like you're like, I'm taking up space and being a narcissist. It's something about like, it's actually to be bad in that way is progressive. Like you are taking up space.
Of course.
The difference between narcissism and confidence though, but the line is very slight. And to be honest, as long as you're not a Scorpio, you're a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Demi Lovato. Do you remember that song? I listen to it every summer.
Which one?
What's Wrong with Being Confident? I think she should get to play it at the Super Bowl one time.
It's like the she sold the shit out of that song. It was like in every trailer for every movie and every sports. Yeah.
I think it was the NFL song. That's why I associate with the NFL.
Absolutely.
All I know about the NFL is that song. And it was the same album as Cool for the Summer.
Our generation's somewhere over the rainbow.
Wait, there's another one on that. I know. Cool for the Summer.
Our grandchildren have Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and our grandchildren have Cool for the Summer.
What's the line in that that's like,
grandparents,
I'm your body type? But it's said in a hot way. I said
don't
it just like a weird.
Be scared because I'm your body type. It was, for me, it was the slide.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird. Are you listening to the new Ari? It's good.
I haven't yet, but I want to.
I heard one song and I don't remember what it was, but I did like it. I like the part where they sing about the Slim Lady talking about Saturn Return.
Yeah, it's a very like scissor control. I mean, what I do want to put a stop on is people using voice notes on their albums. As like, I mean, I do like them, but like everyone's doing it now where it's sort
who
of
is that? Is that like her grandmother?
It's
is
her
that...
grandmother, yeah.
Okay.
I know. I feel it's like,
well,
it was...
actually, no, her grandmother's at the end of the album. I think it may be like some therapist or astrological person that is like the Saturn Return. It's basically saying there's like an interlude where the person is like, everyone's born and Saturn is somewhere, and then it takes around 29 years, and then Saturn returns to where it was when you were born, and that's the moment where you start to release the old shit, stop relying on like your just like savviness and your cleverness to make it through life, and you start to be like, wait, actually, who am I?
Mine is literally right now. It was
you're
technically
in your
March 9th.
Are you 29-30?
I am. And
it's time to say, who the fuck am I?
It's not a day, correct? It's kind of a fiscal quarter of sorts.
Yeah, nope. It's a whole period of time. It's a series of getting, you get whacked over the head a few times with just things that are like, whoa, this has always worked for me. And I've always been like, that's fine. But suddenly I feel bad about this and I want to change it.
I thought it was when we were fighting. Are you mad at me for saying that?
Yeah.
I was sad. I thought my Saturn Return, I would lose so many things. I didn't think it would be this. I thought it would be my dad.
One squabble over some scheduling.
You don't lose them. You change them. No, yeah. Don't lose this. You guys have magic. You know, you can collaborate with people for a long time. It's actually natural for things to ebb and flow. So like, don't do that.
I think my Saturn Return is I learned what beta blockers are and I started taking them and I felt incredible.
SSRIs are important as well. All these different medications and things that can like help you advance through the Saturn Returns period.
Yeah.
Also, you should listen to the album. You might like it. Have you ever been in love with someone and then been like, nah?
I really go hard.
You don't think you kind of fell off that last guy?
I just really remember what it was like to love him, and I still remember that feeling really viscerally.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're such a Swiftie.
Does that make sense?
Jesus Christ. No, feel your feels, girl.
It takes a long time to get out of like that feeling, though.
Like, that doesn't mean I'm going to ever talk to him again, because I'm not crazy. I'm a sober. I actually view it the same way I view alcohol.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this has no controlled place in my life. and I can't sacrifice every other part of me for this one thing.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like also, like, something I feel like I've learned, like, through relationships and breakups and stuff is that, and like, being years and years out from things now, is that, like, you go through such, it's like a constant evolution of, like, understanding what was going on there, whereas, like, you kind of peel back the first layer of it, but there's so many other things going on. Like, I am still learning things about breakups from, like, 6 years ago that don't, like, that person doesn't really affect me anymore, but, like, the way that I was treated and in my sort of value that I felt about myself is what I'm still dealing with now.
Yes, pop off.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I've only had a few relationships. One was very long, and I think that, like, isn't that the point of life? Like, aren't we all searching for that love experience?
Yeah.
I guess something I'm noticing as I'm dating people is that I'm noticing some people who have never been in a relationship before, ever. Like, there's a different energy.
Yeah.
And, especially, I'm 33, like, in this era of dating, like, people have been through a few things. They've been tumbled around a little bit. Like, people come into the dating world knowing a little bit more what they want, that what their red flags are. But, like, to have exes and have gone through that, like, that's the experience of life. People will wait their entire lives for one person to try out love on them.
Yeah.
And if you've had it 3, 4, 6 times, doesn't matter, you had the experience, the high, the low, you felt the texts, that all that good stuff. And then the heartbreak is just a challenge for you to figure out why it didn't work, and to put the pieces together immediately is always impossible.
Yeah,
you have to give yourself time, and usually the next person you meet helps you reflect. Also, like, I'm an older brother, so, like, my sister goes through stuff like that, and I'm like, I watch her ping pong, and I'm like, this guy was, he sucked for this reason, and now this guy, he doesn't possess that at all, he sucks for a different reason. And but, like, eventually you sort of clear away all of that stuff and you figure out what works for you, and sometimes even deal breakers that were deal breakers for you when you were 21, you come back around to it in your 30s and you're like, actually, it wasn't that I can't tolerate that, it was that, you know, that plus somebody who can't communicate, or that plus somebody who is addicted to a substance doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's all stimulus. And Jesse J said it. After I broke up with my ex, I was so depressed. I was like, I want to go to a concert. And they were selling Jesse J tickets for $60. This is one of the greatest singers alive. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
wild.
Not saying that she's like that the songwriting is particularly like groundbreaking, but this is like a vocal gymnast. I went and see her for $60, and she had just broken up with Channing Tatum at the time. And she was feeling really low, and like her music was, you know, they were stalling on an album, and she was just like, to have had the experience of love is what the songs, what the poems, what the plays are all written about.
There's a movie about this, and it's two gay guys, and they're maybe in South America, and it came out a year ago, and it's called Something That I Have to Remember. And I'm going to forget, but I think you should watch it.
It's called Something That I Have to Remember, or you have to remember the title?
Oh, okay. There's so few gay movies, I'll be able to find it really fast.
Text it to me.
Yeah.
Not to preach for a second, but I genuinely think that, like, to everyone with exes and to everybody with that who are dealing with that stuff, it's like, you did congratulate yourself. Even if it was only a couple of months, you got to do love once.
Yeah.
Or even like.
Yeah. I think that there's, it's such a, I don't know. I feel like this is also wrapped up in, like, so many, like, I don't know, being, like, growing up in the South, like, obviously there's a lot of, like, Christian values and stuff like that, and there's a lot of, like, protecting your virginity and protecting your, like, I don't know, being, like, with one person forever and all this, that, and the other, and it's like, if you don't experience, I think everybody should have the experience of dating multiple people and I don't know, going through those things.
You know, there's a great show called Couple to Thruple.
Yeah, this is a plug for Couple to Thruple. But, like, I don't know. I'm grateful for all of the experiences I've had. And, like, I don't know. Because I think people get this, like, in their head that there's one great love that you're supposed to have and everything else. And it's like, that is such a myth.
I say that all the time. I don't believe in soulmates. Like, if I were to take a job in Texas tomorrow because it was an amazing opportunity, I'm not going to move away from my soulmate that's here and never find love again.
Yeah.
Like, there's a million combinations of people that could work for you. It's about where you're at in your life. What are your needs right now?
Yeah.
And your needs are allowed to change. And in fact, they should change. Like, if your needs don't change, you're not growing and advancing. It's just whether or not they change and still stay symbiotic with that person that you've chosen.
Yeah.
God bless all of the high school sweethearts. My parents are two of them. Like, they've been together for 45 years.
Wow.
And I can't even imagine such a thing. Like, my parents hear me talk about dating, and like, I just don't, I'm like, what is it like? Just like, I mean, not to, it's my parents, it's weird, but like one dick.
Yeah.
Your whole life. Unreal.
I can't imagine like connecting with somebody as a child and feeling like that was right for me. And I know, obviously, like, all of us, you know, being queer, like, you're probably not going to be your fullest self. And right. So to that extent, I don't know how many straight people do or don't feel that way, but like, it just feels incredible to, like, I don't know, it just of otherworldly that somebody could feel what they wanted at 16 is still what they want at 30, 40, 50.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It, I mean, God bless them, but like at the same time, it does, don't feel that pressure. There's, yeah. Like breakups are human, real, and as much as they suck, they are actively teaching you something.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about like limitations of being straight versus being queer. And it does feel like with queerness, it's like, yes, the options are endless. And also your relationship to your own identity and queerness is constantly changing. And I'm sure straight people do to like a lesser extent, but like gay people, we weren't even supposed to be gay for a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you're allowed to be gay and actually allowed to be even like, you can even be feminine. You actually don't even need to wear half shoulder presses. You actually can wear an earring. You actually can wear this. And you're like constantly finding who you are and changing. And like that probably like what is already a life without a lot of expectations or limits, like cracks that even further open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that also with queer dating that like just gets... It's something also, I'm like I was saying before, like wrapping, you know, peeling back those layers of what's going on there for me. It's like on the one hand, it's like, you know, maybe the first layer is the actual like heartbreak feeling of somebody not wanting to be with you. But then there's obviously these other like layers that are so much more tied into my relationship, to my queerness and my transness, my identity and things like that. And like that's something that's also like, I think a hurdle that like, a lot of queer people have to learn along the way is that like it's not just about the relationship. It's also about your relationship to yourself and just all of like... the social things that go into being gay in this world.
It's a lot of energy to sort out yourself sometimes. Yeah. You got to, and like a relationship requires a lot. So when I got out of my most recent, I was like so obsessed with having all this free mental space to give back to myself. I'm sort of addicted to it right now. I'm not like not dating at all because I'm like, this is so nice. At this age, especially when I feel really dropped in, I've tried the earrings. I went blonde for. Did you guys go blonde yet?
No. I haven't, but it's. I've been thinking. I want to do frosted tips.
I think I would have to go tan first.
It's a gay rite of passage. You're gonna think you're killing it. Do it. I encourage everyone. Like, get the frosty tips. This might work for you.
I would have like Tilda Swinton.
Like, go be full fun. Aaron Carter. Like, do it. coming around to your queerness is like, I did not want to play rundown. I did not want to do that game. I did not want to get my face hit with a tennis ball. I wanted to make bracelets and do hair braiding with all of my cousins. They had like a jewelry making business. They were making like beaded bracelets and selling them like on the boardwalk. And I was like, this is me. This is where I want to be.
It's also like either you can get hit in the face or you can make a profit.
Yeah. I was like, it was like get hit in the face or start a small business.
We used to have teachers that would only, you can only answer the question, not that I ever needed to, but like if you caught a ball, like they would, that's how class worked.
Yeah.
Those teachers should lose their license. They should lose it. They need DEI training for gay. Okay.
Oh, like, you mean like a conversation ball? Catch the ball and you can speak.
It would be like, who was Jesus's mom? And then you had to catch it.
That's my nightmare. You know what that reminds me of? Hibachi. If anyone ever tries to throw a shrimp in my mouth, I have a panic attack because I have never once caught something in my mouth. Not once. Not an M&M, not an almond, and not a greasy shrimp at my outfit here at this fucking, we're having a birthday dinner. Do not.
Yeah. I don't have any sort of like eye, hand, eye, mouth, eye, anything coordination. I don't catch. I'm not athletic in that sense. I can't catch balls. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that.
That's okay. And knowing that about yourself is like that's the first step. I can't catch balls. I don't want to do that. That's the boys club. The boys club of catching balls, of playing with balls. It's just not for me.
I played with them one time in the last 2 decades and it was at your farm.
Oh yeah. We played basketball.
You tricked me.
My grandparents live on a farm in upstate New York and we went and played basketball there. You were great.
No, I know.
You were a perfect matchup for my sister. Like the two of you had the exact same energy. I mean
girls.
That in the best way. Yes. Oh. Both scoring points. You scored many baskets.
But that is not true.
You still a couple.
My thing was that you could kind of just like move your body and that helped too. To just move around.
Yes. Create a distraction.
Yeah. The boys used to do that too. They used to be like, yo, we shooting hoops later. And I was always like, I would always pretend I was doing something else while they were having that conversation because like I knew they would invite me if I like sort of turned and engaged.
Yeah.
And I would have to figure out a
You'd like look at the ground.
Why? Yeah. I would like somehow remove myself from the conversation so that I wouldn't get wrangled into having to show up to play hoops.
To be gay is so complicated because there's such an internal thing happening at all times.
At all times, you are manufacturing. You're like concerned of optics. It's so crazy, and you don't even know you're like psychologically doing it. You're just like you're trying to hide a festering curiosity that you have yet give you have not yet either figured out or given yourself permission to explore. So you're like, yeah, I think I can, this can subside if I just have more time to think about it. And then there comes a certain point where you're just like, I can no longer, I must try. I must act.
Because I watched Survivor so young. Literally, I watched it since first grade. I think I grew up envisioning people talking about me in confessionals of life. And I'd be like, Connor does this, Connor did that, Connor did that.
I do often, that I say that all the time, where like something crazy will happen and I'll be like, cut to me in confessional. What the fuck?
And the original is Lizzie McGuire's talking head, her like animated talking
head. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like hanging on a salt and pepper shaker.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yeah.
Being like, what? Being like, Lizzie, no.
That was like the original, like, and then we all kind of had one like in our brains, but it was like the original Bitmoji.
Mm. Yeah, like a little editorializing Bitmoji. That's so funny.
Our Bitmoji on Boys Club is the same because we kind of, in Bitmoji world, look similar enough.
Oh my God.
You're not offended by that, are you?
No, not at all.
If you were, I would sob and jump out the window.
Wait, one last thing about the couple to the thruple show that I forgot to mention up top is that the gay couple, of course, looks pretty close to each other. Like, very, like a classic, like, nearly twins sort of gay man couple. And the annoying of the two of them was like, we have to just make sure that whoever is into us is into both of us, like, thinks we're both hot. And I'm like, you guys so look funny. The same. Like, what and they're both, like, handsome enough guys. I'm like, what are you talking about? But that was, like, his first question he was asking everybody, like, who do you think is hotter? I was like, this is toxic. You guys gotta get off the show.
That is insane. But here's what I'll say. You always think somebody is hotter than the other one. There will always be one you want more than the other. This is why I don't like hooking up with married couples. Like, I don't. Although I have been tricked into hooking up with married couples like 3 times.
How?
Okay, I'll
talk. I said Sutton Strack, name them.
Oh, I saw Sutton at the party.
Was she pretty? Yes,
she was beautiful. Her hair looked like $1 billion. Like, it was like, it looked like each individual strand had been dyed.
Wow.
She's petite. Kelly Ben Simone was next to her. Kelly Ben Simone looked like Mrs. Doubtfire compared to Sutton's little tiny ass. And Kelly's gorgeous.
I haven't seen that many celebrities that close, but when we saw 2 years ago at Netflix as a joke, we saw Chelsea Handler very close, and I was like, gorgeous. Wow.
We saw Avril Lavigne.
Wow.
That was a big one. Like, literally, Matt was like, Avril Lavigne is behind you. And I was like,
did she look
I was
happy?
Like, Matt, that might be one of the gayest things you've ever said to me. I was like, wow, I waited my whole life for this moment.
Did you hear it?
But it was Hollywood. Like, this is what I was saying. It was Hollywood. So I was like, don't look.
Oh, yeah.
And then, or like, at least like, don't snap. Matt is so bad. He was like snapping his neck everywhere. I was like, have some chill.
And then you have to pretend that you don't care. So you have to almost like look annoyed. You're just like,
well, it's like music is on. Just pretend you're dancing. That's always my go-to.
Yes. Do a little twirl.
Yeah. Do a little twirl.
Yeah.
Did you hear Kyle Richards say to Sutton Strack on the reunion when she said, oh, what'd you do this season? Buy a horse? whereas Kyle got divorced, it's like, she's like, oh, you just bought a horse? It's the meanest thing I've ever heard in my
entire life. Drama.
And then Sutton, of course, was like,
I kind of like when Kyle's cunty. I'm team Kyle.
It's so
I love Sutton.
Interesting to me that the Kardashians have never really engaged with or overlapped with the Housewives. Like, they feel like they're like,
I think they
sort
think
of
they're high art versus low art. And I'm here to tell you, none of you are art. Not a single one of you. We're art.
Mm-mm, I wanted a Kardashian at that party. It didn't happen. They were at Vanity Fair.
Damn. Yeah, damn. I feel like they're gunning for, like, to be in the, I don't know. I feel like Kim is gunning for genuine, like, award show, like, wanting to get an Oscar or an Emmy or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kanye implanted that in her mind, like, 10 years ago. Was like, yeah. You could win an Oscar.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not blaming Kanye for Kim's success, but I think Kanye has, like, that crazy narcissistic, like genius, I'm a god syndrome that happens to celebrities where they just like lose all and creativity, and like if you can harness that energy without becoming like anti-Semitic, then you can really do some stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that Kanye juiced her up just enough where like she really stepped into some queen shit. Like,
I agree.
Skims is one of the largest brands in America. And also like her designer collabs, the way she influences fashion, just like the whole business of the Kardashians like went up a whole nother tier.
It really did. I agree. I think she's like, they really have stepped into like a new echelon of something.
I just think that they were probably like, well, I mean, I'm just like, I mean, like they were like on E for their entire lives. And I think Kanye was like, you could have your own network.
Yeah.
You could be, what do you want to do? You can do anything. Yeah. Like, and that kind of like, yes, man energy that like, God-given, he was probably like, you have a responsibility to make Skims. Yeah. Like, I feel like
to free the nipple through Skims.
It seems like those type of like societal accolades, like Emmy, Grammy, etc., don't seem like they would matter to someone like Kim, But at the same time, Miley Cyrus was so excited to win it. I love Miley Cyrus. One of my top five was so excited to win a Grammy. And it's like, Miley, the check is always cashed.
Yeah, but like I feel like no matter who you are, there are those governing bodies that they have to decide who is in and who is out.
Yeah.
And for somebody, obviously, like Miley Cyrus, like she's been in music for decades now. Like she's been, I don't know. I was shocked that it took her this long to win a Grammy. I feel like she's just been around forever and she's been killing it. But I feel like Kim Kardashian maybe does still feel that kind of like old money, new money sort of energy, but with fame, where she's like, quote, new fame instead of like old school fame of like getting through like traditional Hollywood routes. So I feel like she's still chasing that like stamp of approval that like you count to. You know what I mean?
Agree. But like, I don't know. I just want $1 billion.
Y'all can keep the
awards.
I agree.
I'll just take a bill.
I would be off the grid, not talking to anybody.
Please.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No.
Not you, but.
We all want $15 million. That's the most anyone should have.
True.
But not in a Bernie Sanders way, which is great. But like in a happy, I think.
So you're a socialist.
I think. Yeah, I said I don't understand why any of us have to pay for food. I'm so confused by that. I think if you want to buy Quest bars, you should have to pay for those.
I know. Every time I'm
you're
in
obsessed
Whole Foods,
with bars.
I haven't eaten anything, but I'm trying to move past bars. It because I did this. It says, I can't talk about my body this episode. I can't talk about my body. I don't want to be eating disorder coded podcast.
No, that's okay. If that's your truth, the boys club. You asked me also to come up with the boys club that I'm in.
Yeah, and the way you said you asked.
I was gonna
you
say
guys give me a deliverable. Go on.
You guys gave me a little thing to come up with. A little worksheet. And I was going to say grilling because
that's a great one.
It's a boys club for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, give me the grill.
Yeah.
Like out of my way.
You learn to from your family?
Yeah. My dad is a fireman. And
wow, that is so, that feels very Rhode Island.
Extremely. Yep. It's,
yeah.
My mom is a pedicurist. She does nails. She's worked in a salon for her entire life. So I where did I learn to grill? My dad used to be at the fire station. Somebody has to cook for all of these men. There's usually like 12 to 14 guys like at any given time, like eating dinner or lunch at the house. So my dad was like the one who was like, I'm the cook. And it made him extremely popular. I just noticed my dad had so many friends and like everybody loved him. And it was like, I used to go there after school and like do algebra and roll meatballs for like,
hell yeah,
for like 16 guys. And just like, and it was so funny too. One of my favorite things about this firehouse particularly was that there was a giant TV, which at the time was like, it was as big as this fireplace, and it was deep to like massive, massive television. And then,
yeah, I have a fireplace.
12 individual recliners instead of a couch, 12 separate, separately spaced,
12 lazy boys,
12 lazy boys all around this thing. And I remember even thinking as a young guy, I was like, wow, they just like don't want to sit together. It was like separate, please. And there was also like multiple remotes for the same television in case like one guy fell asleep, so that there was like somebody else could be like, Brian, change it. Okay, Steve, change. You have it. Like they had like four remotes for that all worked for the same television, and all these recliners. And I would just sit at the table and roll meatballs, or go out to the grill. And my dad would do like he would grill chicken for a ton of guys.
Yeah,
so it was like so he would be like, I have to take a piss. Like, can you watch this? And I would be like 14, and I would just be flipping like tons, like Chipotle, like tons and tons and tons of chicken, tons of those. And I just was not afraid of the fire, was not afraid of that, and. It was a confidence thing.
Definitely.
On Survivor, if you know how to fish, they'll never vote you off.
Yeah, absolutely. I would go full provider mode. I think I would do good on Survivor.
You should apply.
I mean, it's kind of nerdy.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
There's too many twists.
All of the new seasons are like, everyone on it is like, I love Survivor. It's you.
Wait, no, it is me. But, okay, so the people voted off Survivor, they used to be on Letterman after. Like, they were stars. And now it's like, you're kind of just actually after, you're just annoying on the internet. Like, yeah. It's really a different trajectory.
It's people just being like giving their full spiel on their Instagram of like what this meant to them. Yeah, it's too much. It's because we're all online. It's like
we know
everybody becomes more
first.
Annoying being online.
Exactly.
We don't want everybody to have their own idea. It just no.
Survivor would be fun, but like the grilling element of it all, I guess, was like as I sort of like got older and like that was like my way in with people was like everybody likes to eat. I can do this.
Definitely.
It's a good way. It's a good way to see people.
It's also such a good like masculine activity for somebody who's like trying to figure your and like even your dad probably trying to like find his spot in this super ultra masculine firehouse. I'm sure he's like a tough guy, he's a firefighter, but like even still it's like this is something I can do, this is a way I can like socialize and find my way in. It's like such a good
creative
yeah
like, to be like talking to a bunch of guys around a grill being like, so this has actually pesto and lemon. And I'm like, it's like, and they're like, oh, all right. Like, you can be creative and kind of like food is like sort of like a safe space.
Yeah.
A safe creative space for straight men. If you know, when I think boys club, I always think about like the hetero element of it. The yeah. hetero cis male element. And so for this, it was like, I was like, oh, I'm in this club and I feel really comfortable here. And actually the conversation doesn't really venture to anywhere that I don't feel inauthentic.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a safe space.
Definitely. I wish I could grill.
Be an expert in something of such.
It is.
You always have something to offer. You always have something to provide. How romantic it is to cook for someone.
It is a good, and honestly, people, this is the people get my DMs all the time. I think that's how they ask me on dates. They think that it's like, oh, this is a good first date. I want you to cook for me. It happens all the time.
They're like, can you go plan a whole date and a meal?
I want you to cook for me. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that.
What are they offering you? What are they going to bring to this?
What are they bringing to this? They're like, oh, I'll pay for the groceries. I'm like, well, it's more about like the exhaustion of it. Like, or they're like, I'll pick up the groceries. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to do that. I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want you to shop for me.
Yeah.
But regardless, it is a romantic thing. It's very nice to be able to do it. And like, I've been using it all the time too. Like my friends, just three of my girlfriends just got married and I went on all their bachelorettes and I cooked for their whole.
Oh, that's so fun.
Where were their bachelorette parties? We just talked about this last week.
Palm Springs.
Love.
We did one in upstate New York and one in Miami.
Oh, great.
Okay. So that's every part of the country. Yeah. That's the triangle.
I spent like $7,000 on weddings last
week. Wait, we're so coastal and problematic because I was like, that's every part of the country. It's like, yeah, except for the part that controls the elections, except for the part in the middle, like the whole middle.
I can't. Well, like, I like the South. Like, I don't have anything against Southern people. I would just wish that we could all get on the same page about human existence and human life.
Yeah. Asheville's really cool for a couple of days if you want to like walk outside.
I've been to, what's that? Greenville.
Yeah.
Is that in South Carolina?
South Carolina.
That's like Kelly Pickler, maybe.
I did improv there, so I guess it felt safe for queer people.
One time I went on a service trip, but we just went to Asheville and we cleaned the art room at a charter school. That was dumb.
No. Can you clean? Your apartment is extremely clean.
You're lying. Don't look at that box.
Oh, yeah. The one box that's closed. There's nothing on it. Yeah, there's nothing in here.
You have a clean apartment.
It's very
neat.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you brought me back here, I'd be like, ooh.
I think that the wood floors will never be totally clean because they're the originals from 1904, I've decided, I'm pretty sure. So like these were the floors that happened when someone found out about the First World War, the Second World War, Sharon Tate.
Oh my God.
That baby that got kidnapped.
That is such a funny way to think about floors.
Isn't that crazy?
I actually just went to Europe and all I could think about was the doors. I was in Barcelona and every door that I went through, I was like, look at this door. It's giant, carved with wood. There's like this. I'm like, who has knocked on this door?
Yeah.
Like, this is like a 5,000 year old door.
They really, when people had to actually make things, they just were so much more elaborate because obviously they were like spending their time and their craftsmanship on it. Now they're just like having robots rip through shit doors that are in most like new high rise apartments and stuff.
We went through like a door in a church and they were like, this door still tells the story of the resurrection. And I was like, whoa. I was like, hold on. It's like this whole thing like woven in like carved. And I was like, wow, these God doors have damn. Seen so much.
That's so beautiful, literary.
Okay, I hope we don't lose that like as a human race. Like I hope people are still like know how to like carve things into wood. Like I fear that we're going to lose out on things like that.
That's a boy's. I wish that was cool again. Was like, actually, I think it is cool. Like, I want to date a guy who makes furniture.
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, somebody, like, a craftsman.
A craftsman.
Where would you find one?
No idea.
I want to date an architect.
An architect?
An architect.
Yeah, that's hot.
Someone who designs buildings, because he's scientific, but also artsy, because he, like, designs the buildings, but he, like, measures them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it feels like a very balanced existence of math and science.
Yes,
and
it's
arts.
Mathematical, it's creative, it's lucrative.
He's going to build me a house out in the middle of nowhere.
You know, Sam, my roommate, is an architect. Well, he's not an architect, but he's friends with a lot of architects.
How?
Okay, so you need to hang out with
him. Like one of his.
I love Sam.
One of his old roommate went to. She's an architect, and she went to school, and all of her college friends are architects, and that's like their friend group. So like, it's a bunch of architects. I'll connect you.
Yeah, let me know.
That sounds like a fun little social circle.
I'll send my information. I love the idea of a social circle. That's so funny to me. Anytime someone says social circle, it feels you're kind of a seer. Are you an INFJ? An ENFJ maybe.
I don't know what you mean.
I'll send you a test. It's 50 questions test. You can do it
this
whenever.
Is the Post Boys Club 50 question test you have to take.
I'm bringing up Nick Carraway 2 episodes in a row, but I do feel like anytime you're in a new social circle, it's always a little Giving Gatsby where it's just like, oh, it's a new group of people that are friends and I'm the new one. And it's like, oh, they are all evil. Like it takes time, but then you realize unravels. It always unravels.
I'm not afraid of a new group of friends. I think that's saying that like I feel like I'm doing this thing where I'm giving everyone time. And like when I meet new people, I think everyone's just like, is that person going to see me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it, like that's where, like, in a big group of people, I, like, make sure to, like, to like, give a moment to and ask, like, three questions to, like, every single person that, like, go give everyone the time.
You're really good about that. I feel like you get to know people so well.
If I want to.
I know, but you have much more of a tolerance for that than I do. I'm like, I get so, like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Wait, someone
I don't
at that Oscars party the other night said, are you having fun right now? And I felt so anxious about it the rest of the night.
I thought you were having a great time.
Thank you. I'm not always trying to talk.
Sometimes we have to listen to the Oscars.
No, that, it sounds like that person was projecting insecurities about their own event.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, this is how I experience the world. Like,
do you have like an angry resting face? Let it all go.
I have a confused resting face.
I feel like you just looked like you were watching. Like you were just like contemplating over there. You were just like, I didn't.
I was. In my head, I was like, no, I like Emma Stone. I was like, I do think, I was like, I get why that would be a historic win. I do think Emma Stone was really great. And we should have pulled
yeah,
Emma Stone.
Yeah. I mean, it could have, honestly, for the best actress category, I feel like it could have gone anyway.
I was mad because like, I ripped my ballot up, but because I didn't, the thing with the ballot, I was like, it was like constantly having to make a choice and it was too much. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I did pick Emma Stone.
I didn't see everything. I didn't even watch all the award show. I was like getting, I was like putting, figuring out my tuck situation.
Yeah. Wait, I was going to ask like, the party's after the like,
party was after.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I was actually, I was staying with my friend Sosie, whose mother is Kira Sedgwick actually.
Whoa.
So
related to Edie Sedgwick that I had such an Edie Sedgwick phase. Do you know who that is?
What? No. Tell me who.
Died of heroin, was 28. And I always think it's so unfortunate because she couldn't even get in the 27 club. She was a few months late.
Oh,
and
she should have died earlier.
Too late for the 27s club. Too
she
early for a Saturn return.
Girl, too, I know. Wait, yes. Oh my God. 28 is the worst age to die. I'm sorry. So she was a Warhol girl. Warhol? A Warhol?
Andy Warhol.
Like a friend's.
A Warhol.
She was a Warhol girl.
She was that was very Kira Sedgwick on that show.
Oh.
She was of the factory and she was like friends with like Bob Dylan. And like she was kind of just like a hot girl at the time. And I used to have pictures of her in my college dorm and I was straight. And we just.
Oh my God. That is so funny. Wait, who did you have in your college dorm?
It was like people made fun of me for how little I decorated.
Oh.
I just like would not. I like just was like, I don't know what to put up there. But I think that was my own version of just
mine
like,
is
I
horrific.
Can't express who I am.
Oh, okay. You were like nothingness.
Yeah.
Mine was a giant poster of Tila Tequila.
Were you attracted?
Like, in a bathing suit, like arching that shit back and like looking like you want to fuck me.
That Wait. Is so funny.
Yep, hanging up, my friends will never let me live it down.
That's hilarious.
It was like proudly above my bed. Tila Tequila.
Was your roommate straight?
What? My roommate actually was. I don't know if he was straight or gay. He was extremely depressed and left after the first 2 months.
Oh no!
So and then you had a single,
but then I had a single.
That's nice.
Which was amazing.
You had a studio.
Yes, I had a studio apartment. But my other two, because there was four of us in this thing,
Jack and Jill.
My other two roommates were straight. One was cool guy, like in finance, like really quiet. Never really saw him. And the other guy was a film major. He was really hot.
I'm in love with him.
Yeah, he was really cool. His name is Devin. He won't listen to this, but I did love you, Devin. I had like a little crush on him and he had diabetes. And he was like, but like the type,
so
the type that you're born with. So like very quickly when we met, he was like, so I just have to tell you this about me. And I was like, oh my God, the first come out. And he was like, I actually have type one diabetes. And like, just sometimes when I drink or like, I don't know if you ever see me like passed out or like really incoherent, I just need like an orange juice or like a juice box. I'm always going to have these juice boxes in the fridge. Like they're just the sugar that I need. Like if I ever just get me a juice box, if you don't know what's wrong with me. And I was like,
what a letdown
to be needed.
I was like, oh my God. I was like, you're giving me the power to save your life. I was like, wow. I was like, that's so vulnerable.
And then you were like, I love men.
I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like immediately I was like, wow, I want to care for this man. Like
yeah.
Deeply. He was great. But yeah, no, I was like all by myself my freshman year of college. It was actually kind of nice.
Wait, I derailed you. You stayed with the daughter of Kira Sedgwick.
Well, yeah, she's a great friend. Actress. So her name is Sosie. She was like most recently in Smile. massive horror film.
Terrifying
horror film. Yes, very spooky. Spooky was like the largest horror film in the country for like an entire month, and one of the biggest premieres in like the last 10 years.
That's huge, because I feel like horror is always like kind of like on the side, like just like killing. It's kind of one of the most hit and miss though.
Like yeah, like they put up ones and it doesn't catch on, but then it's like they do like another Chucky movie and it's like $10 billion at the box office.
Yeah,
like, the horror film of the horror fans are really culty.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not all too dissimilar to comedy, obviously in a million ways, but like I feel like that too. It's like it's either it hits or it completely misses people. Yeah,
but anyway, yeah, it was so interesting to chill with Kira while we were watching the Oscars and kind of just like get her little takes on it.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Yes, Kevin is her husband. So Sosie is the nepo child of Kevin and Kira, but she's a rock star and like the coolest person in the world.
I like read a book about Edie Sett. Like I was obsessed with her and their cousins.
Oh, really?
I was like obsessed. I don't know why.
You have quite a fixation on this person. I don't know much about them.
So when I was coming out, I was just like, really, I would pick one woman and just be obsessed from woman to woman to woman to woman and discard her when it became too
much.
Which
is confusing when you're like, I love men, but I am landing on and launching to powerful women.
Yeah. And there's never been a girl who's gone missing that you've forgotten about.
I'm going to Aruba and I can't stop thinking about Natalie Holloway. And that Madison kid. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, you are such an encyclopedia. I think I smoked too much weed to remember anything. Like
He doesn't forget anything.
I forget everything.
I want to forget everything.
Oh, people get like a clean slate with me after a year. Like if we have any beef, like I promise, like after a year, I'm just like, if it wasn't horrific, I don't retain it. It's kind of a nice way to live.
Yeah, I do remember everything. Like I'll go home, I'll see someone in the grocery store and be like, she liked Mitt Romney on Facebook in high school and she's a Republican. To me, I was always like, that person won't like gay people.
You should run the census.
That's how you knew you people were bad then.
Did you like Mitt Romney on Facebook?
And now I'm out here and it's like crazy that I seek this out, but I'll be scrolling on Nikki Haley's page and be like looking for someone that I know to like something. I'll be like, can we catch someone?
Unfollow their ass. Oh my God, you're trolling for it. That is so funny. Oh,
that's so good.
I'm obsessed.
It's a horrible use of your time. What's a boys club that you are...
I think we did all of them. Yeah, because we went in reverse order.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Another one that I want to see in the world is I want to see straight men with bidets. I want that to start
happening.
I want guys to be like, yeah, dude, your ass is not clean. Like, I want that to be cool. I want men to constantly be excited about installing new ways to clean their asses.
Yeah.
Straight men are really weird. And it's crazy to say that because they're weird in New York. They're so much weirder everywhere else. Yeah.
It is crazy how rampant homophobia is, that it is literally the reason that men are not interested in getting to a bidet.
I mean, it's not that it's like homophobic. I think it's like, I don't know. I guess what I'm
saying.
Fear
of the asshole.
I hooked up with a straight guy for the first time when I went home. I went home.
Where'd you find him?
Okay. So I have to be careful about not, I want to talk about this.
You don't have to.
But I don't want to out this person.
Yeah.
Okay, don't.
So long story short, I hooked up with a straight guy that I went to high school with.
Wow.
That I never in a million years thought was gay. Or curious, perhaps. Like, yeah. I'm not going to put the G word on him. I won't wish that life onto this man. I just think he could have been a little curious.
Save yourself.
And I went.
Sinner.
I went home and it was like porn what happened. Like, I went to his house to hang out with a bunch of people and none of the people were there, but I didn't think anything of it. Like, this person is, to me, there was no, this was like my homie who I never cared that I was gay and like really supported me, a great person.
Every person that's nice to gay people is probably gay.
I think that's what we can do. I think that's what I'm deriving from this. But I went there and all the lights were off and then I went in and it was like...
You're saying porn? I heard... I'm hearing murder.
That's, it's so funny you say that. My friend Makeda, she's like Ethiopian girl. She was like, any woman, black woman, never mind, would have turned away the moment that you start this story. You're like that dumb ass dude in the horror movie that's like, what's that creepy stairwell? Let me go down.
You're like, I know.
Is anyone in the basement?
In
exactly. I really didn't think there was dick on the other end, but Jesus. Long story short, we like went in and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it's just us. Like, sure. We like smoked a little bit and then we like sat down and we watched Viola Davis, some movie with Viola Davis and Hugh Jackman. It was just playing on the Netflix thing and it was like, there was this awkward suspense in the air. And what really did it for me was on this giant couch, he sat right next to me. and like our legs were kind of touching.
Yeah.
And then I like, it was like, we were like little kids, like we were playing footsies for a second. And then I put my feet up onto the coffee table and he put his feet up next to it and leaned his feet over. To
He's chasing.
Mine.
Wow.
And like, that was when I was like, what's going on here? And then I like went in for the kiss and he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like mortified. And he was like, what made you think I wanted that? And I was like, I don't know, bro. That you invited me here. All of the people that you said that were here aren't here. Every single light is off. We're sitting here playing footsies on the couch watching a Viola Davis movie. It's 10 p.m. I haven't seen you in 3 years. I was like,
yeah.
I'm confused. I was like, but sorry. And he was like, no, I mean, it's not that. Well, Dave, how do you know? Like it's Glee. Like it's an episode of Glee. Like poorly
wow.
Written player. Like, how do you know? And I was like, well, you don't know until you try. And he was like, oh, well, it's like, you know, I just don't want any, but like, you know, I was like, and then I went full Callan Lord. I was like, it's a safe space to, you know, there's a difference between sexuality and sexual attraction and also gender identity. Like all these things are very different. I was like, you deserve to try them out in like isolated experiences. I was like, with people that you're comfortable with. And he was like, well, I'm comfortable with you. And I was like, well, how about we play a game? I was like, for the next 15 minutes, you can do anything you want to me, and I will never tell anyone, ever. And he was like, okay. And then for the next 15 minutes, about a half an hour, we got down to it, and I got so excited. And then it was non-reciprocal and kind of nasty, kind of like gross, not prepared. What I can say is that I left that experience saying gay men are so good at sex.
Have you talked to this person since?
I have chills. That was a riveting story. Talk about it.
We're going to have to add our whatever tags we have for this episode. Be like, because I wanted other categories for this. It's like, this is now erotica.
I mean, like I'm leaving out nuances of the story because I'm a little anxious about, like, because that, like, there's, I've given no context on this person. And I could have gone to any school with this person, but regardless, it was porn. Like when I said that game thing and he was down, like it was like, this is the quarterback of high school.
Wow.
I was like, all I could think about was my friend Dana in a homeroom. We used to have such a crush on him. And like, we would both kind of like, she kind of knew that I was gay. And I was like, we would kind of gag about him all the time. And all I could think of, I haven't talked to her in 10 years, while I was sucking his dick, was Dana. I was like, Dana, it's medium size. It's not that big.
Where's Dana?
Oh, Dana is somewhere in Boston, married.
Wow.
And all I could think of was like, oh my God, I'm not even going to be able to tell her because I haven't spoken to anybody about it. And
yeah,
in my hometown. And like, I'm going to let that happen naturally or not happen, because the way that he was behaving during it was like, I couldn't tell what he was. It was like, it had to have been the first time that he had ever done this.
Yeah.
So his mind was going like a mile a minute. Like I could just tell. And I kept being like, are you all right? And he was like, yeah. And like that kept taking me out, honestly.
Yeah.
Like
you're managing somebody else's like emotions through an experience like that, it really is hard to feel sexy.
Yeah. And like, I'm not a malicious person. So like, as much as I was like, I want this to happen. And I did feel like I kind of like kept lobbing up the situations to make it happen and like advance it along. I was like, ultimately, I was like, he's going to remember this day for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
How it goes, what happens, what he feels comfortable with. So I did keep bouncing back and forth between being like, be respectful, ask questions.
Yeah.
I kept being like, you're a teacher. Like, I kept trying to make it hot again and be like, show him.
Yeah.
But like, he was a
gay sex is that it's teaching, because no one teaches you how.
No. And like, it's awkward and vulnerable. And so to be calm, to not be nervous, to not feel awkward, to not giggle, but like, you know what I mean? Like laugh at sex can be funny. It's mid, it's awkward, and it's very personal. And everyone tries to be perfect. And I think that if you can set up that sort of like safe space, I mean, you can get boys to fall in love with you real fast. This is where I'm saying especially the people who have never been in a relationship before, like when if it's like a one night stand or whatever, that's where the next morning, that's where I get in trouble. Is sometimes I think people are like, wow, you made things really comfortable. That like, I think that there's like a comfort level that people who have never been in love before confuse for love.
Yeah. And you're just being like,
because like I've never
gentle.
I've never let my walls down like that. Like, yeah. Oh my god, this is like something else.
Different. Yeah.
And it's like, no, I actually think you just had a comfortable sexual experience.
Yeah. Okay. I have bad news for myself and everyone else that cares about me.
Oh god.
I am doing this thing that I just realized. This is crazy that this pod exists. I just realized the problem with sex for me is that I become the protector and the caretaker, which is not what I want, and it's not who I am, but there's control in that. So I protect myself by being the one that manages the situation in a way that is like very, actually like kind of masculine almost.
And
it's
are
very,
you talking like, about like logistical, like you're
not
hosting?
Topping. I don't mean topping, but I do mean that like
I didn't think so.
I make the moves the whole time. Like I call the shots the entire time. I am not the, but I don't think that's what I want. But when I do, but then you're in control, you're in power, you're in charge. And it's like, I don't want that. But
what makes
like
you think you're bottom only?
I actually don't think I'm bottom only. Well, I don't think I'm bottom only. I don't like bottoming at all. I'm calling myself a side, but I couldn't find any others. I was like, well, I have to go back to one of the other ones, I guess. So it's like
side is this new thing that I'm seeing a lot. Like
I'm worried it's a disease.
Talk to me more about it. It's like we don't want to do penetration. We just kind of want to.
Here's the
like,
thing. I don't like bottoming. I do like sides. I love sex. I love intimacy. I love eye contact. I love falling in love, and I love Narragansett. And like, so I love all those things. And like all of that was really lovely. But I think penetrative sex is so stressful. Bottoming is really stressful. It's never been fun. I've never liked it. And then topping is so aggressive. There's an aggression to it with the most sensitive parts of your body that I feel like I never got good at. And I was conditioned to be a bottom. So then like with topping, it's like this like stress. I don't know. Like that feels like stressful in another way. And that's all. That's actually the end.
That's the end. Well, all that makes sense to me. I guess I sort of was. I felt like I was bottomed by a relationship, by someone who like didn't really want to bottom, didn't have interest in bottoming. And then it was so funny at the very end when we broke up. All the things that came out were like, "Well, I want to bottom." And it's like, "Well, you have to,
where was that?
Where was that? You have to communicate these things."
I dated someone that was like that too at the end.
It was like you didn't act like that thing. Literally ever. I was so conditioned.
Oh my god!
But then also that's the exciting part. That's why I was saying like, why do you say you're only a bottom? Is because like in the venture out I've had since that relationship, it's been really interesting to see how like my sexual energy changes depending on who I'm with. Truly, truly depends on who I'm with. Like I find myself attracted to people because I'm like, oh, I feel like this is bringing out another side of me sexually. But also the caretaker element never leaves. If you are a caretaker, if you're the one who lays out the towel or not, that's you.
I think I do like to be, I like power and control. Mm-hmm. But then I also, then one time I hooked up with this guy who lives two blocks over that way. I'm not gonna say the other detail, but dated someone that we all know and lives two blocks that way. And he was so controlling of me in a way where I was like, well, where has this been? Finally, someone who's going to take me to carpool. You know what I mean? To be taken care of.
Yeah. I feel like anybody who is like, I'm only this or only that all the time, I'm like, you need to reflect. You need to reflect.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, doesn't everybody want to be like, I think everybody wants all of it.
Yeah.
I think it's just like what you feel most, what you're prone to initially is maybe one thing. Like what do you most often want to do?
Well, it's funny that
you want everything.
Yeah.
Like humans are versatile. I don't even mean versatility in terms of top bottom, but like in feminine, masculine, whatever roles. It's funny that we're gay. We've already left the expected thing, but then we still fall into these like roles. It's like, babe, be the middle, be versatile.
Yeah.
Also, like, I'm pro, like, we don't have to fuck immediately, like, you know, like, I'm trying to roll up, this is something, actually, I don't even embody this lifestyle, this is something I'm trying to actually speak into existence, like, just stop fucking right away, and, like, let's do things in a little bit slower of a way, it adds to the hotness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the suspense, the, like, just making out on the first date, like, I feel like people don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Is that fucked up to say? Or maybe I'm a whore, but I'm like, I have ended up doing dating in reverse, and it's like, I don't know, like there is like something to like holding on
after you hook
bit.
Up with someone, if there's not an emotional something, anything built, it's like you don't care about this person and you just hooked up and it's kind of over and you're like, okay, well, I'm kind of like done and like I just came and I don't need to be here anymore and I'm like, okay, bye, but it's like, and I don't even care about you, so it's like, why would I see you again? Like, I don't we haven't built anything.
But you can like learn that, you can totally like get those vibes from making out And even like if there is a spark there, it, like you're saying, it intensifies it way more because you're like,
I kind of like that. Like there are a few people that I'm like, we've made out only a few times, but every time it's been really good.
Yeah.
I need to sit with someone at a bar and they explain their organizational chart to me of their work. Like I need that. Like that is so hot to me. Cause I'm like, and you're like,
what women are you reporting to? And can I find them on LinkedIn?
And I'm like, and you have direct reports. That's so hot. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's the. I think another boys' club I'd like to see is monogamy. Like, like let's try it. Like,
yeah,
I think the girls are casting too wide of a net. I think that there are some, I won't say traditional values, but I think there are something to the old-fashioned way that I think could work, and I think we could make like a beautiful little mold of the two of like all the options and the openness to all of the amazing, you know, combinations of love that can exist, but like starting at a place of I'm interested in getting to know one other person and I'm going to take the time to do that in an orderly fashion and not be so sporadic and crazy about it.
People are really drawn to the limitlessness, I think, of like poly world, but not the communication and the trust that it is really built on.
Exactly. I think you can communicate through everything. I also don't think open relationships are new. I just think the concept of like it being a box you can check on a dating app is new.
Yeah.
But like I think that couples have always been like getting to know each other so well, and if the communication is there, then like absolutely swingers and all that have existed the key forever.
Yeah.
Like those types of experiences on vacation or whatever, like that's a part of human existence that's always been. But like communication is the foundation of it all, and that starts with like with just taking it slow and getting to know that one person the right way.
Yeah.
Versus coming in being like, I'm a poly, non-binary, like non-monogamous, atheist,
no labels,
Bushwick only, side for side. It's like, are you really
side
all
for
that?
Side? You're gonna be looking for a long time. There's no other one. Good luck,
baby. Those sides run perpendicular all the way. It's like, oh, parallel. No, not perpendicular. Damn it.
Yeah. But I agree. I feel like it's all labels with no meaning and no real.
Let's cut it and just like get everybody to a place of just openness. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I hope that this is like an exciting episode for you. This feels like sort of like a holistic sort of dating guide.
Yeah. It was great.
That's what we'll call it.
A holistic dating guide with Dave Mazzoni. I love it. Dave, thank you so much for being on the pod. We appreciate
An
you
absolute pleasure.
Being here.
Thank you for doing this.
Do you want to plug your socials or anything you want to chat about?
Follow me at Dave Mazzoni. It's my name. You can follow it all over the place. I have a non-scripted show that I'm doing right now in Brooklyn called Why Are You Single?
Yes.
We're looking for singles who are messy but are proud of themselves. The show is actually really fun. It's hosted by Marie Faustin. We take real singles who submit this long questionnaire. You should do it.
I'm scared.
And we hunt for their red flags, and the theme of the show is kind of that we all have red flags, and that there are actually most red flags, a lot of red flags that people will deal with. But there are some that people won't, and the audience decides that.
My red flag is this podcast.
My red flag is having a podcast.
I love that. Amazing. Well, Dave, thank you so much for being on.
A pleasure.
We'll get out of here in a smooch. 1, 2, 3. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.